My name is Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us once again on this broadcast.
If you'll take your Bibles this evening and turn to the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter, we will be reading verses 18 through 24 for our lesson text tonight. Again, that's Luke 18, beginning with verse 18. Tonight, as we consider our theme of what it means to be a Christian, tonight we want to further that thought to understand that it means that we cannot lack in obedience. As you and I consider Luke, the 18th chapter tonight, we find Matthew, the 19th chapter, as well as Mark, the 10th chapter, this same story is told. Here he is called a rich young ruler. I'm going to begin reading verse 18, and we'll conclude at verse 24. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" When you and I take Matthew's account in Matthew 19, and we also take Mark's account in Mark 10, we learn a little more about this rich young ruler. One thing that I note from Mark's account is his approach to Jesus. It was one of reverence and respect and one of joy initially, because he ran to Jesus and he knelt before him, showing the proper reverence. But then when you and I take a look at all three accounts, here's what we find. Mark says that his countenance fell. Matthew says that he walked away sorrowful. Luke's account says he walked away very sorrowful. So when you and I read all three together, here's what we come across. This young man initially was disappointed. But as it went on and Jesus was speaking to him, you sense that that sorrow continued to grow. He wanted to buy and had the ability, he thought, to buy what Christ had. But he wasn't willing to pay the price for it. Now let that sink in for a moment. He wasn't willing to pay the price to sell all that he had and to have treasure in heaven and come and follow Christ. He wasn't prepared for that. And I want you to notice in Luke's account, Jesus said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing." What it means to be a Christian. It means that we must provide out of the people. It means that we must make the right choices. It means that you and I need to have the spirit of growth within the Lord's church. It means that you and I need to consider and make the right priorities in life. These are things we've studied for 3 days or for 2 days. Tonight I want you to think what it means to be a Christian. It means that you and I must not lack in obedience. As I look in this audience tonight, I wonder, like the rich young ruler, do you, dear friend, lack one thing? You know, I know a lot of people that are good folks and they seem to lack in one thing. This is on tape. My index finger and thumb is about an inch or so apart. Have you ever known people you could say they were that close to obeying the gospel? That close in that they are good people. We would call them a good neighbor, good old boy, good moral person. Mean well, but yet they lack one thing, and that is in obeying the gospel. Tonight I want to ask you, what do you lack? This meeting is a combination of to be edified, to build up the church at Leone, to build up, encourage fellow Christians who come from various congregations, to build you up, to encourage you, and prayerfully, something will be said or done here, or you'll witness something that you can take with you that will help your work. Well, it's also a meeting of exhortation to exhort individuals who are not Christians that they need to obey the gospel of Christ, to exhort individuals who were once faithful to the cause of Christ but yet are no longer faithful to stop the direction you're going and come back unto God. That's what I hope we can accomplish, especially with this lesson tonight. Because what it means to be a Christian, it means that you and I cannot lack in obedience. It must be as strong and it must be as convicting as the rain hitting on this roof. And if you left your window down, you are lacking something else. Oh, that's a beautiful sound. We call that a collector's item in Cleveland, Tennessee. It's been very dry over there. Question number one, are you lacking faith? I don't know anyone in this audience tonight that I would say is lacking faith. You've assembled together in a Church of Christ on a Tuesday night. You've assembled together, and I believe it would be safe to say that we all believe in God. But let's ask this question. Is your faith in God enough to move you to what you need to do for God? Is your faith one that prompts you to be obedient unto God? You know, Jesus referred to faith as being a size of a mustard seed. You read His parable in Matthew 13, 31 and 32. You see how a mustard seed is the smallest of all the grains, but yet it can grow into something great and big. Faith is indeed that. Are you lacking in the faith that you need to make the next step? Faith is important that we move on that faith. We understand in John 14 and verse 1 the importance of faith. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. How about in other passages? John 3:16, called the most beautiful verse in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we understand the importance of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. So the question is, are you lacking faith to make the next step? Now again, I believe it's safe to say that we're not lacking in faith. There are a lot of people that say, well now, I have faith in God. So let's go to number two. Are you lacking repentance? Faith we all should have. I know people that believe in God, but their lives show otherwise. John 12:42 speaks of those individuals. John 12:42, nevertheless, the chief priests that heard Him. The Bible goes on to say that many believed on Him, but they didn't confess Him, lest they be put out of the synagogue. The reason was in John 12:43. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So they didn't make that move. They believed on Christ, but failed to confess Him. While the devils in James 2:19 believe, and yet they tremble. So is it safe to say that faith alone is sufficient enough? My friends, if faith alone was sufficient enough, then the devils would be saved. If faith alone was sufficient enough, those chief priests would have been fine. But they knew what would happen if they confessed Christ based upon their belief in Him. It's interesting to note that in James 2 and verse 24 is the only verse in the Bible that you find faith only or faith alone side by side. And it says there, you see then how by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Will your faith prompt you to repentance? Will your faith in God prompt you to change? Best definition of repentance is straight from the Scriptures, Matthew 21, 28 through 32. It is a beautiful thought of these two sons. You know, it would be interesting to do a gospel meeting of gospel meeting lessons on two sons. You got the prodigal son and the elder son. There's one. You got the two sons here. And you could go on and on from Old through New Testament. What think ye? Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Jesus asked the question, whether of the two did the will of the Father? They say unto him, the first. Then Jesus simply taught them, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterward that you might believe him." Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not lacking in faith, has that faith moved you to repentance? Repentance definition is simple. First son said, "I will not," and afterwards he repented and he went. He changed his decision, which resulted in a change of his direction. The second son said, "I will," but yet he did not go. We know who did the will of the Father. The first one. There's repentance, folks. It's when an individual, like this son says, he repented and went. His decision changed his direction. Question, are you lacking repentance? Repentance is a beautiful word. Jesus taught, except we do it, we will likewise perish in Luke 13:3. Repentance gives us a sense of a new start, a new direction. A sorrow that led us to repentance, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, and we are able to move onward with our life. Well, let's just say that repentance is not the problem. Here's my third one. Are you lacking baptism? In gospel meetings that I do, I love to preach lessons on baptism. Here is tonight's, part of this one. I know a lot of people that are lacking in baptism. There are reasons why. I'll give you three. First one, they are lacking in baptism because they do not see it's necessary. You know, I can discuss faith, I can discuss repentance, I can discuss confession with a lot of religious people, but when you get to baptism, that just seems like it's the fly in the ointment. But yet the Bible is very clear. Baptism puts one into Christ, that's Romans 6, 4 through 6. One puts on Christ at baptism, Galatians 3:27. Therefore we know one cannot put on Christ before that. Baptism washes away sins. We see that from Acts 22:16. We see it was important for Saul to have those sins washed away. And before Ananias came and told him what he needed to do, guess what he was doing in the city? He was praying. Question, why didn't he just pray the sinner's prayer? We mentioned this Sunday morning. Why didn't he pray the sinner's prayer? Why was baptism essential? Because baptism would wash away his sins, and the sinner's prayer could not. And number two, the sinner's prayer was not written in the days of the New Testament. Baptism also saves us. That's as clear as Mark 16:16, as 1 Peter 3:21. It's a burial, Colossians 2:12. It's one that we are buried into the death of Christ. That goes back to Romans 6:4-6. Some lack baptism because they see it's not essential. My friends, tonight if you think baptism is not essential, God's Word would kindly disagree with you. And if you and I wish to please God, then we must do what His Word says and not what we think or our impression or what we like for it to be. But second, some people lack baptism because they fear crowds. Now, I don't think a lot about that. I stand before crowds all the time. But ladies and gentlemen, it is a very difficult thing for some people to go in front of a crowd. Did you know the number one fear of people in America is to speak publicly in front of a group of people? That's the biggest fear in America. You know, it was interesting, years ago they threw this guy to the lion. Lion got close to him, he whispered in the lion's ear, and the lion ran over and laid down and cowed down. The ruler said, "Stop! Come! What did you say to that lion?" He said, "I whispered in his ear and told him, after dinner you will be asked to say a few words." Worked every time. You see, not only people not only have a fear, I've had people tell me, "Jeff, I just don't want to come down in front of everybody." Let me address that by saying this. Do you realize that not one person has ever been egged or tomatoed who has ever walked forward to obey the gospel? But number two, do you realize that that is one time in your life that everybody in that assembly will be on your side? Preachers don't even get that kind of deal every Lord's Day of the people they stand before. But you let a person come forward to obey the gospel, you've got everybody on your side. There's nothing to fear there. One dear lady years ago told me, she said, "Jeff," she came forward during the invitation. We talked and she said, "I'm ready to be baptized, but there's a lot of people in here." Now folks, I'm going to be real honest with you. There are times a little bit of honorness gets into me, and I was not going to dismiss people and stay later to baptize that woman.
I got her that close, we were going to get over with. I said, tell you what, you let me worry about that. And so when she went back, I caught the guy who comes up here and pulls open the curtain, and I said, Clyde, I want you to open that curtain that much. And as soon as I bring her up, I want you to pull that curtain too. She got in the water, and when they opened the curtain, she started to look to the right, and I said, You know, when you got somebody in your arms going to baptize you, you will do what they tell you to do. But she had a legitimate fear. My friend, don't let that bother you. Don't let that bother you, because tonight is an opportunity you have to encourage others, and I promise you it's going to be fine. But you know, some people lack baptism not only because of the fear, but some people lack baptism, and here's one that I get, they're afraid they can't live it good enough. You're not living good enough now, but you seem like you're doing pretty good so far. You're not living good enough now, but I'll tell you what, when you obey the gospel of Christ, when you're baptized into Christ, you may not live it good enough, but I'll tell you one thing, you'll be living better. Better than you are. Folks, we can't live good enough now. If we could live good enough, why need the grace of God? If we could live good enough, why send Christ to die for us? When someone says, I'm afraid I just can't live good enough, well, you're not living good enough now. But you will live better. Because not only will you have forgiveness of sins, the blood of Christ, that redeeming blood in your life, Ephesians 1 and verse 7, but that redeeming blood, according to John in 1 John 1 and verse 7, continues to cleanse you as you walk in the light. And you have a better opportunity and a greater life, a better life than before. Now, my friend, tonight, if you are lacking baptism, you understand faith and you understand the blessing of repentance and you're willing to confess Christ as the Son of God, but you're lacking baptism. Tonight there is no greater night, and your heart will never be any more ready than it is tonight to obey the gospel. And if you're lacking baptism, according to the Bible, that's what you need to do. It's very possible you've been thinking since Sunday morning or Sunday evening, even last night, that you're thinking about obeying the gospel. And you might look ahead to where you want to be baptized, maybe tomorrow night when the crowd is more, or mama will be here, or brother will be here. My friend, you don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. Fellow preachers especially, I believe we need to really teach concerning baptism and to get people out of a mold that they have seemed to slip into years gone by where they want to be baptized, but they want to wait. I've had people tell me they want to wait, and I just finally try to persuade them, and if I go so far, I look and I'm going to say, I'm going to tell you one thing, you better hope God lets you live that long. Please understand its importance, and go back and see where that very hour, that same hour they were baptized. That's not something we need to delay. Why delay the joy that is therein? I think of the urgency of that eunuch. Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? In Acts chapter 8. Well, let's move on to number 4. This one may be one that will come to us tonight. Are you lacking faithfulness? Now, that's a challenge to a Christian. Are you lacking faithfulness? Are you as new and as fresh as you were the day you came out of the waters of baptism? We understand from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 14 through 16, that though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Well, are you being renewed day by day is the question. Are you lacking in faithfulness? God intends His servants to be faithful. Day of judgment, Christ, Matthew 25, 21 through 23, commended them for their faithfulness. We understand when Jesus said in Luke 9:23 that we are to have the faith in Him, be not faithless, but believing. We understand that one, to be a steward of God, in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, that a man must be found faithful. Revelation 2 and verse 10 to the church at Smyrna, also applying to us today, to be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So we see that we need to remain faithful to God. Faithful simply means to be diligent and to continue in that way. But dear Christian, are you lacking faithfulness? Are you lacking that faithful walk that you once had? You know, sometimes it's easy for us to get into a rut. We talked last night of those who thought they were right, but yet they were not. Jesus dealt with that in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Those who had been healing the sick and doing things in the name of Christ, but yet He said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." We need to give serious thought and say, "Am I walking as faithful to God today as I was when I obeyed the gospel and began my walk as a Christian?" That we are to remain faithful to Him. Number 5 is similar to 4, but it's specific to individuals who left the church. Individuals who have not darkened the door of a church building in some time. Individuals that for one reason or another they have become unfaithful from this standpoint. And I would ask number 5, are you lacking restoration? You know, when I look in Luke 15, and as we did on Sunday morning, verses 11 through 24, we looked at whom we call the prodigal son. And as we studied the prodigal son, we looked at a young man who left and came home. But when you read on, beginning with verse 25, 26 through verse 32, you and I find elder brother who left the father, but yet he stayed home. And you and I see that it's real easy for us to remain as that son did, thinking that we're all right, but all the while there's bitterness, there are struggles, there are problems we have that are hindering us from being faithful as we should. It's easy to become unfaithful and walk in the church building every time the doors are open. Even Simon, when he was walking with the apostles, beholding the signs and miracles which were done, in Acts the 8th chapter, we find in verses 22 through 24, he desired to buy the power of the Holy Spirit with money. And that's when Peter rebuked him and told him to repent, therefore, of that wickedness and to pray that God would forgive him because of the wickedness of his heart. Because he desired things that were not of his. And he stopped. He didn't argue. He said, "Pray for me. Pray for me." Dear brother, dear sister, is it time for us to pray for you as you come back to God tonight? Now let me ask you a question. Which one are you lacking? Are you lacking in faith? Are you lacking in repentance? Are you lacking in baptism? Are you lacking in faithfulness? Are you lacking in restoration? Well, obviously, if we're lacking in faith, it is our prayer tonight that the study of God's Word, the songs that we have sung, have prompted you to begin to think about your life. But we want you to keep thinking a little further, because now you are lacking repentance. That you can change your direction of life and go in a better direction tonight if you'll but do that very thing. Are you lacking in baptism? You are. We stated a while ago of its importance and would implore you to put on the Lord in baptism tonight for those sins to be washed away, to be added to the church. But as I look around this audience, I see a lot of familiar faces. I see a lot of individuals. I don't know your heart, but you know it and God knows it. Are you lacking in faithfulness? Are you continually walking in the joy, the zeal, in serving our Lord faithfully? Or do you find yourself going through the motions? Going through the motions of Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and yet you wonder where your zeal, your joy, and the beauty of forgiveness and the blessing of walking in Christ, and you wonder where it's gone. Renew that faithfulness tonight. Or are you lacking in restoration? Is it time for you to come home? Time for you to once again renew that walk with the Savior Jesus Christ. And the day that you obey the gospel, you will find tonight another time to where God, through as we term it, His second law of pardon, will forgive you and restore you just like that prodigal son, as if you've never left. Are you lacking one thing tonight? If you are, it is available for you if you will but come as we stand and while we sing.